So as Ian has read us out of Luke chapter 11 about the Lord's Prayer and the preservation in prayer, I wonder how many of you continued to add all the things we normally pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer, or gone, that's not what we pray. So let's spend some time and talk about a pattern of prayer and what it means for Jesus to have offered these words to his disciples. So they found Jesus praying, and they asked him when he had finished. They weren't like our children who, when we're in their midst of prayers, are going, excuse me, Mom, excuse me, can you get me? And they interrupt our prayer time. They waited for Jesus to finish. And they said to him, can you teach us to pray the way John has taught his disciples? So obviously, John the Baptist was teaching his disciples about prayer. So Jesus then teaches us through teaching them, when you pray, say Father. Say Father. He says, start with an intimate relationship. Start with calling God that which is closest to you, the one who is the parent who can give you that sense of comfort, that sense of safety, that sense of well-being, that loves you unconditionally. Father, hallowed be your name. So he continues by saying, remember to give reverence to the Father. Hallowed be your name. And then Jesus says something here. He says, your kingdom come. And then he doesn't add what we know that comes next, right? Thy will be done. He just says, your kingdom come. That we are to pray to God our Father, God our parent. Bring your kingdom. Bring your kingdom. It's pretty demanding, isn't it? Your kingdom come. It's not like we're saying, please bring your kingdom. We say, your kingdom come. And then we do this other thing where we're not even asking, please. Give us each day our daily bread. Give us each day our daily bread. Give us. Not please may we have, but give us. So we only ask those kind of things in those places where we have an intimate relationship and that we're not considered rude when we demand things that we would normally only demand to people who understand how much we love them. But it's also some of the scriptures some of the interpretations that I have read talk about the daily, what we call daily bread. The Greek term really isn't daily. Give us the bread that we need. Give us the bread that we need. And another interpretation of the Greek term for daily, or it is used as daily these days, is give us each day our tomorrow's bread. And what they believe is tomorrow means give us each day our taste of the kingdom. Tomorrow's bread, the heavenly banquet's bread. Give us each day just a taste of the heavenly banquet each day. Can you imagine asking that of God? Each day, give us just a taste of the bread of the kingdom. And forgive us our sins. And then he goes on to tell us, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. So it's not, as we know it, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He is saying, forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. That is talking about people who might owe us anything. That we forgive them that which they owe us, as God forgives us our sins. So there's, for me, it's always that, wait a minute. If I'm not being very forgiving, is God going to reciprocate the same way? But that's not what God will do. God gives us God's mercy every day. Every day God gives us his mercy. And then for Jesus in Luke's gospel, he ends it, and do not bring us to the time of trial. Which we hear often in our prayers, do not lead us into temptation. Do not bring us to the time of trial. And some manuscripts even add, let me get there. Rescue us, but rescue us from the evil one. but rescue us from evil. So Jesus is telling us to pray to God our Father, God our parent, not to bring us into those places of trial. Trial is going to come. Don't bring us there, but trial is going to come, but rescue us. So we're saying, God, you know we're going to go there. Please rescue us. So we get this pattern of prayer where we pray to that which is our parent, that which is our God, that is the one who loves and loves us unconditionally. We give honor and glory to the one who knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. And we call for God's kingdom to come here on earth. And then the pattern continues to ask God to give us just that taste of the kingdom each day, so we can get through that day knowing God is with us. And then that peace of forgiveness and that peace of rescuing us from trial. That is a pattern Jesus says we can have in our prayer life. But before I go on to the rest of the passage, I want to talk about our prayer lives. Because often we think we have to have a structured prayer. In fact, when I was in a couple, like Walk to Emmaus or some other spiritual growth places, they would give us an acronym to help us do a structured prayer. One of them is called ACTS, just like the book of Acts. A, that the prayer begins with adoration for the God who loves us. C, confession. Confession either of our sins or confession that God is God and we are human. Kind of a Job confession. T is thanksgiving. Giving God thanks, the glory and the gratitude for all that we have. And S, supplication. That we reach out to God with all our needs, which we get into in this second pass. Acts. So that is one way, another pattern of prayer. And then there's a very simple pattern of prayer that's called the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Another pattern of prayer. But those are all liturgical or ritual prayers. We can speak to God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, any way and in at any time, in any language that we choose, because God listens, which is, now we're going to move into the next part of the passage. When he says, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. And the passage goes on to say that the friend is like, hey, wait a minute, I'm in bed, it's after midnight, sorry, I'm not getting up out of bed to help you. But Jesus says this odd thing at the end. Because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. Jesus is reminding us that in our consistency, in our persistence in prayer, God will hear our prayers and give us what God knows that we need. But we have to be really careful in this whole section, because we can start thinking it's about earthly needs or earthly wants. Because he is leading us in this and leading his disciples through this passage to exactly what God will give us. God will give us our salvation, our mercy, the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is what God will give us. And God will give us that comfort in the midst of those times of trials. God will give us this presence that he has through every moment of our life. That is what this relationship, this pattern of prayer that should be our life. Our life should be a pattern of prayer. So how do we do that? Well, I don't know about any of you, but I pray weather. Anybody else do weather prayers? I'm praying weather prayers all the time. You know, when Leo's traveling on his motorcycle, I'm praying that not storms go away, but storms move faster, storms move slower, storms move north, storms move south. But I pray with the belief that God could do that, that God should God choose to move that storm system away from my son. No, my husband on 2 wheels, God never moves the storm system away. I got to tell you that. He doesn't do it. But he does do it for other things. I pray lights. How many pray red lights and green lights. You don't do that. That when you're late, you go, Lord, I really could use all these lights to be green. So you might think that's funny, but why can't we do that? Why can't we pray? Yeah, so it's a conversation with God. Hey, God, I'm late. And he's going, yeah, I know you are. I know my tank's empty, God, but please let it go that distance so I can get to where I need to go. A pattern, a life pattern of prayer keeps God with you in every moment. So in the silly moments, in the normal moments, in the, Lord, I need to get to church for worship. Can you make Indy go potty? Kind of prayer. You know, why is that? We always think we have to be formal, that we have to do the liturgical prayers. The blessing of the Lord's prayers, we all know it. And when we know we need to pray, we don't know what words we need to pray, but we just need to talk to God, because we say it week after week or pray it week after week, those words will come into our head and we're automatically in that Father relationship with God to pray. So he goes on to tell us and the disciples, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. And I think about all of those times when we ask God for so many things, and we search scriptures, we search our whole prayer life, we speak to everybody we know about what we want God to do for us and with us and in us and to us. And we feel like God isn't there. Jesus is reminding us that we will receive that which we ask for. That God will answer that door. Remember, persistence is important in this. And then he shares this little parable about parents and children. And for those who've had parents who might have given their child a scorpion instead of an egg, or might have given their child a snake instead of a fish, they might go, well, I don't want that, God. But it doesn't matter whether the parent is one who wouldn't do it or the one who would do it. God, who loves us, gave us the best gift God could ever give us. God gave his son, Jesus Christ, who walked on this earth, who taught us about God's unconditional love, who died on the cross so that we might have life and have it in abundance, and gave us the Holy Spirit and gave us the vision of the kingdom that is coming, the kingdom that we ask for a taste of every day, the kingdom that we can see in moments here on earth as it is in heaven. The Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. We know right now that the world is in a place where we wonder how persistent we have to be on the doors of heaven, on Jesus' abode. We just feel like, why isn't God here? Why isn't God coming in and rescuing us from the evil that is in the world? Why isn't God here? Leading us not into places of trial, but leading us to the kingdom. God is here. God is here. And that is something we need to remember. We need to remember that God is with us in the times of trial. God is with us in the times of joy. God loves us unconditionally. God is the parent that will not harm us. God is the parent that is going to bring us to the kingdom, that gives us the gift of life and the Holy Spirit. Our task is to live our life as a pattern of prayer, to live our life as the one who can seek God and who others seek us because they see God in Christ through us. If we lived a prayerful life, it means we would live a life that is so connected to God that the lights will turn green, that the storms will go away. No, they won't. But we live that life that is so connected that our life in the times of tempests and troubles is one that we can go through with the assurance that we're going to make it to the other side, that God will be with us in the future. So how do you live a pattern life of prayer? You can wake up in the morning and say, "Thank you, God, I'm awake." You can go outside in the heat and you can say, "Thank you, God, for air conditioning." You can thank God for every moment of your day, that you begin this diatribe, this conversation with God all day long. But one of the places that, for me, is the best pattern of prayer that I know is the prayer of contemplation, where you spend a good 20 minutes and you work hard to be silent so that God can speak to you. And another place that, you know, we find those places that are perfect for us. Mine is floating. Have you ever floated? I float really well. You know, the heavier you are, the better you float. The thinner you are, you have more muscle mass than fat. Fat floats. So I float really well. And when I get in a pool or get in the ocean, yeah, I float in the ocean. When I float, it begins this process of letting go of the edges of my body so that I feel this connection to God, the eternal God, the God who is one in all the universe. So all of us have places where we can get that connection to God. When they asked, the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray." Prayer is however we want to do it. How many of you have been asked to pray out loud and said, "I can't do that. I don't know how to pray"? You do. You can start with, "Hey God, they asked me to pray. So here we go. Give me some words." And God will give you words. And they don't have to be excellent. They don't have to be flowery. They don't have to be as well written as some of the beautiful prayers that we have in our hymnals, in our book of worship, in all sorts of devotionals. There are gorgeous prayers that we could pray out loud. But the thing is, our life is a prayer. And if we live it in a pattern that points to God, others will see God through us. And it doesn't matter what words we speak, God hears us. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.